As we begin our call to worship, we ask that you remain standing if you're able. We will begin our call to worship on page 3 of your worship bulletin.
Ha'aviaku ya Yehovah, ka po'i ikaika. Ha'aviaku ya Yehovah, ikanani ame kamana.
Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ho'omana aku ya Yehovah, mena mea nani ho'ano.
Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
Aya kaleo o Yehovah, maluna o nakai. Ke hikili mai nei ke akua nani. Aya no Yehovah, maluna iho unavai he nui no.
The voice of the Lord thunders over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over mighty waters.
O kaleo o Yehovah, he mea mana no ia. O kaleo o Yehovah, he nani loa no ia.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. We ask that you remain standing if you are able and join us in singing hymn number 292, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. We ask that you remain standing and join us in our mission statement, followed by our Lord's Prayer. We will say the mission statement first in Hawaiian, followed by English, and then we will sing the Lord's Prayer first in Hawaiian, followed by English. And that begins on page 4 of your worship bulletin.
Ho'okumu ia kai kalesia o ke Hawaii. E koma koma kupuna I kupa'a ma hope o ke aloha o ke akua mai ke kahi haunauna a ke kahi haunauna aku o ma kono na hamana a Yesu Christo e hea hea akula me ke aloha I nā hui a pā, i kō mā kō ohana. Lave lave ia na la hui a pau e ko kevalai ma o kapilina uhane o ke kaya ulu akea. I holokahi ia ka homana kalikiano me ka mo'o meheu Hawaii. Kevalai Congregational Church, founded by our kupuna, is committed to sharing God's aloha from generation to generation. As hamana of Jesus Christ, we welcome all, love all, and accept all into our ohana. Kevalai ministers to all through the spiritual gifts we share as a diverse community, uniting our Christian faith and Hawaiian heritage.
You may be seated. It is now time for our youth and our children.
I know Xander and Zoe and Koa and Ileana. Ileana's somewhere. The four wise men. Well, the two wise men and the two wise women. It's still Epiphany. That's why it's white. It's when the Magi, when they got to the place where Jesus was born. But today, we're celebrating his baptism, or commemorating his baptism. Okay, so, I hope you, four more Sundays, and then it's... So I'm trying to figure out, if I have four more Sundays, what could I tell you that I would want you to know after I retire? And I feel like I'm repeating myself. So this is the story. When I was a little kid, when I was younger, probably your age, I grew up in a place where it was farming, and I went to school, and we would play sports like baseball and stuff like that. I wasn't very good at it. In fact, I was pretty bad. But what I realize now at age 70, all my friends who played football, they can hardly walk. So anyway, but when we used to play baseball, they would pick teams, and guess what? Yeah, I always got picked last. Sometimes when people ask, well, Kahu, why did you decide to become a minister? And I remembered what it felt like to be left out, or people saying, you're not good enough. Yeah? And you know the thing about that? It's a lie. Because the moment all of us are born and we take our first breath, God and all the angels in heaven are saying, this is great. And in that moment, when we took our first breath, what God saw was another person to love. So I do what I do because I don't want anybody to feel like they're not going to get chosen to be on the team. Because actually we're all on the team. And the important thing is to know that God loves you, yeah, number one. That you probably have people in your lives, whether it's mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, uncle, cousins, even your sister or brother, that we love. So maybe years from now, when you get to be my age, and if somebody asks you the question, so he was there for 30 years, did he say anything worthwhile? You can say, Kahu said God loves you. Okay? Which sounds really good, but the truth is, we have to love each other, yeah? So I love all you guys, and as you grow up, I'm going to grow older, and if you see me, and I don't quite remember your name, you have to tell me again. Yeah? It doesn't mean the love has diminished. Okay. Let us pray. We thank you, God, that you love us and that you accept us just as we are. Mahalo. Amen. Thank you.
God gives us not only life at birth, but the new life born of repentance, forgiveness, and resurrection. Therefore, with generous hearts, let us give back a portion of what has already been given to us in our baptismal covenant with God and each other. We will receive the morning offering.
You have gathered us, O God, into one baptism from different places and different backgrounds. So we praise you this day with our tithes and offerings. Though the world seem poised for war and the brokenness and despair that comes from such violence, May the gifts we offer this day join with others to become a mighty river, bringing your peace and healing to the world. We pray in Jesus' name, Makainua o Yesu. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 1 through 9, and I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. May God add his blessing to the reading of this morning.
Thank you, Kate. Let me first share with you a couple of things that came in during the week. We received the words that Mama Kahu Kiko Kawata died on Tuesday. So in our Hawaiian churches, Lakahu is the pastor, and sometimes the pastor's spouse, wife, is called the Mama Kahu. So we kind of know who's in charge. But anyway, Mama Kahu Kiko died on Tuesday. She was the wife of Kahu Teruo Kawata, who faithfully served in the various levels of ministry within the United Church of Christ, of which our congregation is a member. He served locally, regionally, and nationally. And when I was in seminary about 40 years ago, Kahu was a mentor, someone that I looked to for his wisdom and leadership while I was a student in seminary. So, prayers for the Kawata family. Some of you may have already heard that we received a text from Alice McDermott. Her mom, Ann Rowell, was admitted, went to the emergency room and is at the ICU at Maui Memorial. So prayers for Ann and for the family. I'm not sure what the situation or condition is, but she is at the medical center. Earlier this year, they live in Wailuku now, so they transferred their membership to IAU, United Church of Christ, but both she and Roger were, they were with us, were active members of our congregation. So prayers for Ann. And both of them, Ann and Roger, were members of our choir as well. On some of the cards this morning, Doug and Joanne Goss, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Prayers for my brother, Don, who is battling leukemia. Also, on the cards this morning, Fred Roniger and family. Where are you, Fred? You used to live on Maui, yeah? And you were members of the church at one time. Is that, I'm right, is that correct?
Yes.
Oh, there you are. Sorry, I can't see. Hi, Fred. Well, anyway, on his card it says, nice to be back after almost 30 years, just in time for my retirement. Welcome back home to Maui. Also, from Doug and Joanne Goss from Edmonton, Alberta. Whenever things happen in the world, it seems like it's somewhere else. But the request for the prayers, because they're from that area of Canada, prayers for the 20 community members. Were they a theater group, Doug and Joanne? Is that correct? Yeah, it says community members, So they died in the plane crash earlier this week, and they're from Edmonton. So prayers for all of the people who died in that tragedy and their families. Thank you. Shirley McCarthy asked also for prayers, continued prayers for Judy Argento of Calgary, Alberta. She has been diagnosed with thyroid cancer. She's on chemotherapy and radiation treatments. Shirley did add that now she's not able to talk or speak. So prayers for Judy. We pray for those affected by natural disasters around the world and across the country. Always for first responders who place themselves in harm's way. The news out of Australia is the wildfires continue. But for the U.S., 50 million people across the South, Midwest, East Coast, and Northeast were affected by a variety of weather challenges, including tornadoes, hail, snow, wind, and floods. For us here on Maui, the rain, it is makahiki season, it's when it comes, so we need the rain, so we're grateful for that. We also include in our prayers this morning the people of Puerto Rico. Following the 6.4 earthquake on Tuesday, they were hit by a 5.9 magnitude aftershock. Initially on Tuesday, it's reported that over 500 homes, schools, and other structures had already been damaged earlier in the week. We pray for those seeking reasonable ways to curb and reduce the epidemic of gun violence across the United States. We continue to pray for millions around the world, 71 million, who've been displaced by wars, armed conflicts, violence, climate change, disease, poverty, hunger, and religious persecution. Continued prayers also for God's presence and guidance, for the Kukia'i, protectors of Mauna Kea, for law enforcement and others who are working on the mountain. I know some of you have been following what's been going on with Mauna Kea. It really is more than just about the telescope. One of the things that has come out of the what's happened over the last several months is the practice of what people are now calling kapu aloha, which is to be able to give voice, but in a non-violent and non-confrontational way, to some of the issues that we face as people here in Hawaii. Kapu aloha was mentioned in the news coverage of the two members of the Westboro Baptist Church from Topeka, Kansas, who were on island Friday to protest the decision of a high school to allow a transgender student to play on one of their teams. There was an off-site demonstration here on Maui with dozens of other participants, including those who are members and friends of our church. It was meant to practice kapu aloha without interfering with police and others at Maui High School. The two demonstrators indicated they plan to return to Maui in July with a larger group. They also, I should bring Koa, that they also plan to picket some of our churches. And I shared this earlier in the first service.
without intending to be facetious, and I don't want to make light of what their presence, how it's affected the community here on Maui, but it does appear that the group's return may be a sign that they need a lot more aloha. Yes. Yeah? So when they come back, that's what we can do. And if anything, as adults, we need to ho'olohe, listen to what the students are saying, yeah, and support them. We pray for all religious and political leaders, and we will always pray for our enemies. And we want to sing, where is he? We got to sing happy birthday to Uncle Fred Pascoe. He celebrated his birthday yesterday. Fred. Happy birthday, Uncle. I'm much younger than he is. he celebrated his 75th, and I celebrated my 70th in June, so you see I am, well, not much, but I am younger. So happy birthday, Uncle. And anyone else, happy birthday to you. Hauli lahanao. Let us pray. In the beginning of creation, O God, your spirit moved over the face of the waters of the deep. In the waters of the flood, you cleansed the earth and humankind. You caused the waters to part so that Israel could cross from slavery into freedom. And you formed Jesus in the water of Mary's womb. He taught us how to live by washing his disciples' feet with water. And drinking from a well, Jesus met a Samaritan woman, the first to recognize that he was the Christ. And so it is that we come to you this day to celebrate and commemorate the baptism of Jesus, the firstborn in the family we have become. In baptism, you caused us to die to sin and raised us to new life in him. Trusting in your promises for all people and for the earth itself, we bring before you all of our prayers. We pray for your church, that all people in all creation may know that you are, that we are your beloved. We pray for those who suffer, that they will know your love for them, and that we may be bearers of your comfort. We pray for your creation and ask that you would strengthen and empower us to be caretakers of the earth and sky, the land and sea, the plants and animals, the fish and birds, that all may thrive and continue to nourish and nurture us. And we remember those who have gone before us and pray for those nearing death, that they may be at peace in your love for them. In one baptism with Christ, you have blessed us by your Holy Spirit. And so we praise and give you thanks for breathing upon us the breath of your Spirit. Come then and hear us as we pray. Ho'unani iaoe keakua, ame Iesu Christo, ka'ulelo ka malamalama, iloko o keakua, o mau popo ia ai loko o kamana o ka uhane hemolele. Glory be to you, O God, and to Jesus Christ, the light of the world, in whom you have been made known to us in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.
As we sing our Hawaiian hymn this morning, we ask that you stand if you are able. We will be singing Ia no Lako e Jesu, hymn number 90, found in the New Century Hymnal. In the beige hymnal.
Mahalo, you may be seated. The second reading for this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, and it comes from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. This is God's Word. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." May God bless the reading of the Word. Amen. So today is the Baptism of Christ Sunday, and what I wanted to say to you before I begin the message itself is, whenever I sit down with individuals or families to talk about baptism, I ask people to imagine a round table between us, and this is sitting on the table. And if I ask you, what do you see, you'll tell me. We know what this is, but from my point of view, it's a little different. So this morning, all I'm asking you to do is to move around the table a little bit to see what might be on the other side. So what I want to share with you about baptism, it's not to aggravate you or to confuse you or to get you all worked up. Okay? So here we go. Having said that, you're all going like, what? I have no memory of whether or not I was baptized as an infant, but I do remember being baptized for the first time when I was around 21 years old. The church that I joined insisted I needed to be baptized in order to be saved and to make certain that upon my death, I would inherit the celestial kingdom, their heaven. Although in order for that to happen, I would also need to get married. Well, at age 70, the only other creature in my life is my dog, so right now I'm not quite getting in the gate, I suppose. I remained in the church for about 5 years, but eventually left for reasons both personal and theological. I joined another church, and when the pastor found out about my first baptism, I was told it didn't count. And so after a series of consultations, I was baptized a second time in 1971. The one thing both churches had in common was their insistence that one had to be immersed underwater in order for the baptism to be valid. It was important enough that they both had built-in baptistries. It's a sunken receptacle that they use for baptism so that when you go in, you can be immersed. The first was an outdoor baptistry with steps leading down into the water and steps leading out the other side. It was outside the church. The water was cold, very cold. The second was an indoor baptistry built inside the church behind the altar. When it came time for the baptism to occur, a curtain would open, revealing a receptacle behind a glass wall filled with water up until about my waist. But this time, the water was heated. Down through the centuries, the practice of the Christian church has varied when it came to the celebration of the sacrament of baptism. There are those who insist on total immersion, while others sprinkle and still others pour. Needless to say, the debate about what makes for a proper baptism continues. Many insist that when Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan, he was immersed, and therefore we must also be immersed. Now I imagine when Jesus was baptized, it was probably a refreshing event, given the heat of what was essentially desert country. I do not imagine that Christians living in the Arctic Circle would think it practical to be baptized outdoors. As for us here in Hawaii, well, we have a big ocean. But even then, there are limitations shaped by weather conditions. Whether or not there is a storm on the day of a baptism, on a day that a baptism is to be celebrated, or if there is beach erosion from seasonal storms. Now I realize that for those of us who have grown up in the church and for those of us who are accustomed to the ways things are done, we may find ourselves hard-pressed to give up what we believe is a proper baptism. But over the years I've come to realize that whatever the visible or outward form of the sacrament of baptism may be, what is important is understanding its significance. I do not mean to trivialize the theological differences that have emerged in the church, but it does remind me about the medieval scholars who sought to determine, and I've shared this with you before, scholars who sought to determine how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. And I also do not mean to trivialize the discussion over angels that some attribute to what was written by Thomas Aquinas, the 13th century Italian Dominican friar and philosopher, in his best-known work, Summa Theologica. But nowhere in his writings do we find the form of the question asked in that way. Still, and I've shared this with you before, I have always appreciated the deep theological insight attributed to Charlie Brown, who, after a moment of deep contemplation, responded to the question by answering, How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? 2 if they're fat and 3 if they're skinny. In our reading from the Gospel according to Matthew this morning, we discover that Matthew appears to be oblivious to what makes for a proper baptism. He is more concerned about explaining and clarifying other matters open to misunderstanding that appears in the Gospel according to Mark. Mark seems unconcerned about the question as to the reason for Jesus' baptism. That Jesus was baptized is a historical certainty. The church would never have created such a story. After all, though, why would Jesus go for baptism by a preacher who called for repentance and forgiveness of sin? Matthew makes three clear statements about why Jesus was baptized. First, he deliberately went to the Jordan to be baptized by John. It was an intentional act. He was not caught up in John's preaching or the movement that developed around John. Second, John recognized that Jesus did not fit the image of those coming in repentance, seeking forgiveness. Somehow Jesus transcended John's baptism, and that is made clear when Matthew points out that John would have prevented Jesus from coming to him to be baptized when he questions Jesus. I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Third, Jesus responds to John by saying, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." It is as though Jesus is saying, "It is what God's will. It is what God wills." And so it becomes an act of his fidelity to the commands of God. What becomes important for Matthew is to focus not on Jesus, but upon what God announced at his baptism. We began this week with the Epiphany and the sign that drew the Magi to Bethlehem at the birth of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, they all attest that Jesus' baptism was also an epiphany, a sign of divine revelations. The heavens were open, a sign associated with divine revelation. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus, empowering him for the ministry before him. And then the voice from heaven declared, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." So for Matthew, it is not the baptism that he is most concerned about, but the proclamation that followed. Earlier, Matthew offered the birth of Jesus was for us to recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. For Matthew, the proclamation that day was not to Jesus, but to those who were present at the river. It was a public announcement. On the one hand, the voice joined Psalm chapter 2, verse 7, and Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1 together. For the psalmist, the announcement is a coronation proclamation that Jesus is sovereign. And for the prophet Isaiah, that Jesus is God's suffering servant. Having said all of this, Matthew is clear that John recognized Jesus as someone greater than himself. Moments before he appeared before him at the river, John declared to the Pharisees, Sadducees, and others who were coming to him to be baptized, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but one more powerful than I is coming after me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Now, I shared this at the early service as well. When we think about our baptism, when you think about your baptism, when I think about mine, the connection we have to what happened to Jesus that day is the coming of the Spirit's presence in our lives. Yeah? So Jesus comes out, the Holy Spirit comes to him, And then you remember he goes into wilderness and they're tested and after a time returns. He goes into the synagogue, opens the book of Isaiah and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind. And he goes through the words of Isaiah. And he concludes by saying, in this reading it has been fulfilled, and closes the book. Now, I've always thought over the years that those who were in the room that day probably thought, wow, what a guy. And I also think there are other people in the room that day who thought, wow, who the hell does he think he is coming in here? That gift was given to him at his baptism. And I would venture to say, whether you and I are aware of it or not, that gift at our baptism was also given to us. Yeah? Jesus' teaching and his life were never separated from his identity as God's beloved Son. Neither were they separated from the life he shared with his beloved disciples. I would say to you that each of us have been called out by the voice of love. We were baptized not only with water, but with the Spirit. This is what makes our work for the kingdom of God possible. As the church, as the body of Christ here in McKenna, or as the church, as the body of Christ from wherever you may have come, we are God's beloved, called to a life of service in the world. Let us pray. God of life and new life, you are indeed splendid and strong. Your voice thunders above the sound of loud waters. You sit enthroned above the floods of life. As Jesus heard you speak to him in his baptism, so we have heard you calling us your beloved at our baptism. And for that, we give you thanks in his name. Ke mahalo ni mako iho e ke akua. We give thanks to you. Amen.
As our service comes to a close, we ask that you stand if you are able and join us in singing our closing hymn, Mark, How the Lamb of God Self-Offering, found in the New Century Hymnal, hymn number 167.
Thank you.
As the benediction is offered, may you in your hearts bless one another. Some of the wisdom sayings from our kupuna, our Hawaiian ancestors, some of us who have grown up here in Hawaii remember some of them, and this comes from many years ago, and the wisdom saying is, Ue kalani ola kahunua. When the heavens weep, the earth rejoices. It's great poetry, yeah? But we need the rain. So as you leave today, if you get a little drop here and there, Ue kalani ola kahunua. I think there's enough food if some of you decide you want to stay and hang out with us. That's not a nice. If you would like to visit with us, we're going to be over in the pavilion, so you're welcome to join us. So again, as the benediction is offered, may you in your hearts bless one another. Imawa aku kaloko mai kai, o ka haku Yesu Christo, me ke aloha o ke akua, me ka lana puana o ka ohane himolele, me ka koa pawa. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Aloha.